And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Ahoy, mateys. Welcome in to RBLR Bucks, your frontline defense against weak takes, sleepy storylines, and those brutal summer offseason blues. I'm your co-host, Musab, and just like Tampa, baking under the summer sun, we're counting down. Folks, 31 days till we see some Buccaneers action in the preseason. It's going to be a long voyage, but the treasure is at the end. It's totally worth it, all right? Also, hey, big cheers to the whole RBLR fleet holding down Tampa Bay. Rays swinging for the fences. You know, the Rowdies battling it on the pitch, and the boats gearing up to shock the league once more, and our beloved Suns, too. So make sure you're dropping the anchor on their pods. But before we hoist the sails, a quick shout-out to Junior Caminero repping the Tampa Bay with that home run derby invite. Proof that our talent shining far and wide all across Tampa Bay. But today, we are settling into tight end territory, breaking down, you know, the top guys around the league. But don't worry, you know, we got plenty of that Bucks love into the mix. And, you know, no offseason lull can keep us keeping our eyes locked in on the Bay. But, hey, seriously, though, listeners, we want to hear from you. Don't hold back. Share your hottest take, your boldest predictions, just your wildest ideas. Honestly, your voice matters. We're all ears. So please tell us how you feel. And joining me tonight, and in honor of tight end talk, shout out to Dave Moore, who was a Buccaneers legend, a steady clutch force for the Bucs on their Super Bowl run. And I'll tell you this, listeners, my co-host tonight brings that same smart, reliable energy here on the pod, ready to crush bad takes and keep the ship sailing straight. Mr. Zach Blaine, how are you tonight?
I am doing fantastic. You had me a little worried there when you said, speaking of tight ends, here's Zach. But you know, no, man, I'm doing great. A little disappointed in some of the news we got today, but, you know, we'll talk about it a little more when we get further in. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Just, you know, fighting the good fight. It's good to know that there's, like, only 31 days. It's just, you know, as we get closer, I feel like, you know, on – social media, you see a lot more kind of content or just all kinds of stuff, you know, like fantasy talk is, you know, getting bigger and bigger now. And I don't know about you. I mean, I'm still kind of just holding back on even looking at anything like that. But, you know, I mean, there's always something going on. I'm a huge sports guy. So, you know, been keeping busy with the Wimbledon. But
I don't watch any tennis, so I've been keeping busy with my fish tanks. That's pretty much it.
Hey, man, respect, dude. But hey, let's just get right into it. Zach, as you mentioned, some rather unfortunate news. Tristan Wirfs is going to be missing the start of his season. He got surgery on his right knee, actually, today after dealing with an injury from last season, and the docs found a bit more damage than they expected. So, you know, at least they, from what I've heard, you know, good news is, you know, they cleaned it up and all that. But, I mean, it's going to take a little bit more time. So, I mean, let's just get right into it. It sucks. Okay. And here comes Charlie Heck.
Yeah, it's a weird timing for me. I feel like we would have checked more on that knee of our all-time best left tackle, like the probably best player on this team. You would think we would have checked deeper into that after the season started or after the season ended so that we didn't have to wait this long. So unless there's another injury that happened recently that made them go in there and look again, it's just weird timing for me, man. It kind of sucks because, you know, free agency's done and over with. We can make a trade now. I think we got $29 million in cap if we needed a starter right away. But then you're wasting that for, what, 4 weeks, 5 weeks? I don't know. They didn't really say how long he's going to be out, but it was just the first few games, I thought. So it's a weird place to be at, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. It's definitely weird. I have to say, though, I guess from – at the end of the day, you know, only, you know, the inside of the Bucks, you know, front office and, you know, the coaches really know what's actually going on. Only so much is going to be released to media. So for that reason, you know, I'm not going to, you know, kind of just put it on them. I think it just sucks, of course, just because, I mean, first of all, you're starting off the season against a division rival. Atlanta Falcons. So it's just like, that's just a bummer. And then on top of that, it's huge shoes to fill. So here's what I read about Charlie Heck. Okay, he has played about 50 NFL games, okay, 23 starts, mostly at right tackle. Looking at his career, he's had just over 6 sacks in his career, and he didn't give up any in 2024 across 9 games. I didn't really get the specifics as to how many times he was playing and, how often he was getting in reps or whatever, but I don't know. I feel like, yeah, it's a Band-Aid, We'll get by with him. But I don't know
what I want to just get by, though. Left tackle is that's an important position, man. That's
most definitely. I mean, it's quarterback security. This is
that's
the blind side of Baker Mayfield. And
yeah, we're putting up a guy who played 9 games last year. I think he started 2. So it's one of those things where it's worrisome for sure.
Yeah, it just sucks. But I mean, I don't know. Is there anyone else you think that the Bucs could think of?
I know Suo Peta has played. I believe he was more of a guard, but if he could shift over, I know he had a pretty good training camp last year. I haven't read much up on him this year, but those are the only two I can think of that we could either Heck or Opeta, and I think that it's probably going to be Heck because he's got experience at tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like at least as of right now, they're leaning tackle. I feel like, at this level, no matter what kind of lineman you are, I feel like, you've played everywhere across the line.
I don't know how I'd say that because you saw how Luke Gadecki did.
Yeah.
Or moved him to tackle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, what I'm trying to say, I just feel like he just didn't execute. I feel like, when you make it to the NFL as a lineman, I feel like you're probably, you're so good, that back in high school or college and all that, they probably had you a little bit everywhere was what I'm saying. But no, I mean, yeah, it's a whole different ball game in the NFL. And, on the depth chart, looks like Heck is behind him right now. So, what the heck? Enough about all this negativity. Okay. I had to throw it in there.
Let's okay without it. I get it, brother.
I had to. So let's just get right into it, Zach. We're talking tight ends. We'll go, back and forth a little bit. I'll go with my 5 and then, you can go with your 5. That way, we're not just, jibbering all that just only one time. So let's just get right into it. My first guy is George Kittle. I don't know what else to say, just absolute dog. You look at the PFF numbers, this is probably not something that I'm also pretty new to, but just stat wise, he's up there. He's the only tight end with more than 90 PFF receiving grade, even run blocking grade, he was up there compared to anyone else. PFF was even able to drop some stats with, he led all tight ends, even with contested catch rate. He only had like a 1% drop. He had one drop on 86 catchable targets. So, just absolute legend, super consistent. I don't know what else to say. Now, here's what I think is kind of like, the future Kittle. All right. Brock Bowers from the Raiders, absolute dog, former Georgia Bulldog as well. And when I saw him in college, I was like, everyone was, chatting about him. He was a legend at Georgia and came into the league, had, again, highest ever rookie tight end, PFF receiving grade. He had a hell of a season. Just rookie tight end records, and led team in contested catches, even when it was getting first downs, 596 yards after, catching, most among tight ends. So just absolutely nuts, freak of nature. And, the best part is, yeah, he's only a rookie. So, it's always weird to see these guys play on these kind of teams, but I guess these are the kind of guys that keep organizations afloat, but sucks to be a Raider. But hey, Number three, Trey McBride from the Cardinals. To be honest, I didn't think much of him until this year when I really started seeing up his name in fantasy. I was like, God, man, how do I get the best tight end out there? But this is not even just on the fantasy, you know, stats. I mean, overall, he was second among tight ends with PFF grade. Had hell of a season. I mean, he only had two touchdowns, but over 1,100 yards. Pretty damn good route runner. And for a guy with so many targets, he had a great contested catch rate at 73%. So number four, I'm going to go Sam Laporta. Just an absolute stud, especially in the red zone. Overall, I would just define him as a red zone target. I mean, he is up there in the ranks, probably, I think, top three, you know, when it comes to tight ends. Had a pretty darn good season this past year. Over 700 yards, 8 touchdowns. So, yeah, absolute stud. And last, well, not last but not least, but for my number five, I'm going to go Travis Kelce. All right, took a step back, you know, this past season. I guess he looks like he's slowing down. I mean, hey, I respect it, but still a key piece. You know, not the same Travis Kelce, but just an absolute third down and kind of clutch situation target, honestly. So those are my five guys. And yeah, what about you, man? Where's your head at?
Interesting list, because I don't have Travis Kelce in my top 10 at all. Was not good last season, like, at all.
Yeah, but I don't know. This was more like out of respect, you know, when we threw in.
So I have him on my honorable mentions for that exact reason. Okay. It's like a respect, you know, he's done it for a long time. He was a stud. The last 2 years, his play has fallen off drastically. I believe he scored like a 71 overall PFF grade. I couldn't put him in my top 10 knowing that this is probably his last season. Like, he's not producing like he should, especially considering he is, in my opinion, Kansas City's number one receiving weapon right now. So, well, at least was last season, I should say. My first five, starting off, George Kittle. I don't think that there's any debate there. I think that he's one of the best tight ends in the league. He scored an 84.7 overall PFF grade in all seven seasons in the league, and he's just elite in the game at every aspect. Like, there's nothing that he's not good at. Number two and three, I flip-flopped from you. I got Trey McBride at two. Since week eight of the 2023 season, McBride has had an overall PFF grade of 87.5. That ranks number two in the NFL in that span. And he's a favorite target of Kyler Murray. And with Murray hopefully healthy for a full season, I think that's just going to build on the relationship they have and the relationship that they have on the field. Three, I've got Bowers. Again, everything you said, he produced at an insanely high rate this season with one of the worst, if not the worst, quarterback room in the NFL. Ranked second in PFF WAR and third overall in PFF grade. So just – for a rookie, that's insane. He played very, very well. Four, I've got Laporta as well. His numbers kind of dipped from his rookie year. He had, 800 and something yards, 10 touchdowns his rookie year. Had a really, really good rookie year. But the stats dropped, but he was still the same player. When you have all the weapons that they have, it's hard to fit everyone in there. And his grade in his rookie year was an 81.0, and his receiving grade – last year was a 79.1, so it's essentially, you're right there, it's the same grade. Like, his play was just as good. I think he's just going to continue to be a top five tight end in the league moving forward. And then I've got TJ Hockenson at five. He missed the first eight games of the week, or first 8 weeks of the season last season, but came back and had the second best receiving grade of his career at a 78.9. And I think it's going to build with a guy like J.J. McCarthy throwing him the ball. I know we're going to see coming into next season how good J.J. is, but I think that he's going to be a safety blanket for J.J. Watching him play at Michigan with Loveland and all that, I think that's going to be a big upgrade in quarterback play for the tight end. Not that he's better than Kirk Cousins was in Minnesota, but I think it's going to be interesting to see. Or not Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins wasn't in Minnesota last year.
No, you mean
Sam Darnold.
That's Sam Darnold, yeah. So another NFL legend.
Yeah, he's something, brother.
Well, if you need a little bit of something, and you need a little bit of an upgrade in your closet, all right, you still have, you know, plenty of days before the NFL season kicks off, and you can head on over to shop.rblarsports.com. And just because I'm in a good mood, I'll give you a promo code that is Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S, for 10% off your order. So, yeah, I mean, it's show us some love, you know, and I don't know. It's never too late for that back to school shopping. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, actually, you know, I didn't even think about it. I need to actually get me an RB Laura hat. I got all these shirts, but
there you go.
That, you know, my little balding head and all that, but it is what it is. That's life. But, you know, speaking of balding and getting older and all that, I'll go off. I'll start off, you know, with my 6-10, and I'll give my respect to an older gentleman in the league, or one of the older tight ends, Mark Andrews from the Ravens. He's my number 6, productive before his injury. I think still he's a strong route runner, red zone target. I mean, before he got injured, I mean, he was an absolute stud. I mean, his numbers were up there. And our producers, you know, obviously, you know, making sure we all know that, yeah, he is Mark the Big Dropper Andrews, of course. I think we all us NFL fans can remember that day, even if you weren't even a Ravens fan. But, yeah, he's my number 6. I feel like Lamar trusts him, but, you know, I do also want to just say Isaiah Likely is also – he's a young stud, and I wouldn't be surprised if he takes the spotlight. This was – something I had to think about as I was mentioning Mark Andrews. Didn't think about it beforehand, but that being said, number 7, I am going Evan Engram. All right, Jacksonville Jaguars. He was target machine. He had 140 targets, actually, most among tight ends. You know, shout out to PFF. More of a slot player. You know, that slot usage was, you know, a huge portion of his playing time, and overall, just, you know, a little bit, you know, he's not flashy, but, you know, also known for his blocking skills, and you know, kind of just gets the job done. Before I say anything else, I mean, this is where it kind of gets a little bit more fluid and all that, but I do want to kind of give respect to one guy that I didn't think about before until now. But I'll go to my number 8, Kyle Pitts. Man, I wish Carter was here to also chime in on Kyle Pitts, because I know he's a huge Kyle Pitts fantasy enthusiast, but has the tools to be elite. You know, I just feel like he just unfortunately hasn't been used consistently, but I mean, he's absolute dog. You know, just still had a solid season. I mean, he racked up 600 yards and, you know, popped a couple touchdowns, but he's also known for his kind of, you know, that jump ball win rate. Just, I mean, overall stud. I think they just need to find better ways to use him, or find ways to use him more, really, if anything. Number 9, though, this was a kind of a podcast audible, man. I didn't think about him before, but yeah, TJ Hawkinson is my number 9, man. I mean, you know, after major knee surgery, you know, he comes in full strength, and, you know, he still puts in work. It's just absolute dog. And I mean, for what he did during his time when he was playing, I mean, came back and, yeah, he was firing on all cylinders. So just another guy I didn't really think about before. But, yep, curious to see what, J.J. McCarthy does as well, just because he was out this whole season with the injury. So that being said, my last but not least, number 10, though, is Dalton Schultz from the Houston Texans. I mean, just overall, he's one of those kind of just, you know, he's got dependable hands, kind of just, I guess, insurance, you know, for C.J. Stroud. You know, they're a young team. So, you know, I feel like he's just, you know, he's a solid role player. Not some kind of highlight reel machine either, but he's also up there in the ranks with, you know, his contested catch rate. So those are my 10, 6-10. Go ahead, Zach. Where's your head at with these?
You putting Kyle Pitts in the top 10 tight end ranking is crazy.
Hey, man, I think he's still got it, and I'm hoping things
He's got the ability to be a top 10
ability. Yeah.
But he is he's not done anything in his career outside of his rookie year. He's not even an honorable mention for me. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, man. Okay.
Six, I agree with you on Mark Andrews, and I even put in my notes, we all remember the drop conversion. With that being said, he's still one of the top, in my opinion, top 10 tight ends, if not higher. I put him here because he was injured last season. And there's just, you know, he's not posted a sub 80 PFF grade since his rookie year. So he's just kind of been a model of consistency, and it's nice to see that.
Yeah.
Seven, I've got Dallas Goedert. His grades have slipped the last two – his PFF grades have slipped the last two seasons. But I think he's still an integral part of what Philly does. And when you have all those mouths to feed in Philly, you're not going to have the greatest numbers or the greatest stats because there are so many people – that need to touch the ball in Philly. But he's just another one of those guys.
It's hard, dude. It really is. I mean, Super Bowl champs, yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. And you don't have a team without a solid receiving core, and I think that he's a big part of that receiving core, and that's why I've got him ranked here. He could be higher if his numbers, his grades were a little bit higher, but I think seven's not a bad spot for him. You mentioned him, but I've got Isaiah Likely at eight. Career high 77 PFF receiving grade last season, and was kind of that security blanket that Mark Andrews is. While Mark Andrews is out, I expect him to get a larger target share this season than Mark Andrews. I think that it's kind of going in the way of Isaiah Likely being the new tight end one in Baltimore. And I think that his skill set fits perfect for that offense, and it's going to be fun to watch. I wouldn't be shocked if next year we see him as a top five tight end. That's wishful thinking, but I do think that he could be that good. Number nine, I've got Jonnu Smith with Miami last season. Career high in receptions, 88 with 886 yards. It's also a career high. All to go along with an 84.0 PFF grade, also a career high. I have him so low because he was traded to Pittsburgh this season or this offseason. And I'm not sold on Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback anymore. I think he's kind of washed. I don't know how well that's going to play in Pittsburgh. But if Aaron Rodgers falls in and starts playing really, really good, I think that Jonnu Smith could have another really big year.
Remind me, who's backup for them again after Rodgers?
Mason Rudolph.
Oh, yeah, I know he's back. Howard. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's either Will Howard or Mason.
Oh, yeah, man. Okay. Hey.
Okay. And then 10, I got a different Dalton. I got Dalton Kincaid. Ooh. He had a 71.1 receiving grade, which was a step up from his rookie year. But all of his stats kind of took a hit. That's kind of what happens when you have 20 less targets and 31 less receptions than you did the season before. I'm expecting more production from him this season, so I've got him high based off who his quarterback is. And I think that him and Josh Allen have a pretty solid relationship over the first 2 years. So I think that's he's going to have a pretty solid season this year.
No, I'm right there with you. And, I mean, at the end of the day, like championship teams, you're going to have to, you know, share it out. And I mean, looking at the tight end room, you know, I mean, minus Travis Kelce, you know, none of these guys are the heroes, you know, of their teams. I could see Brock Bowers being a hero for
but anyways. It's Vegas.
He's probably but for that. I'll tell you this though, just because in regards to Jonnu Smith, I definitely should have thought about him, but you know, what you had said with him, you know, having a career high receptions, doing really darn well, you know, with Miami and then going on to Pittsburgh with, you know, this weird QB play. I feel like Kyle Pitts it's going to be the opposite, man. He's been going through this weird QB play, man. He's got the best physical traits in the game. He's got the size, the speed, the vertical ability. They just got this inconsistent quarterback play in Atlanta. But I feel like, you know, his yards per reception and, you know, depth of target still is up there with tight end. So I just feel like once that QB play stabilizes, I think he's got that potential. So, just because I want to give him the respect he deserves because
I sure hope so. I think it's more of a – I don't know that he deserves the respect yet, though. That's the – not to be, like, disrespectful to him. I don't want that to come across that way. But, like, he hasn't done anything. He's kind of lived off of this hype from playing at, like, in Florida. And then he came
in. I know what you're saying,
rookie season and hasn't done anything since. So
I feel like he's had solid games against the Bucks because I feel like I always.
I mean, a lot of tight ends have solid games against the Bucks. So have you seen our
Packers? You know what?
Packers.
That is true.
That sounds terrible, but it just, like, I just, in my opinion, he hasn't done anything to earn the respect of being like, oh, what he could be, you know, because we don't know that he could be that. He was that in college, but he's not been that in the NFL. Yep. So until he shows me a glimpse of being what he was in college, I can't go, he's got all the tools because he does. He's a superb athlete. Yeah. Like, he's an insane specimen. But he just hasn't
been. I know what you're saying, man. Sometimes there's more than just the athleticism part. And I know he's got it, but
Bowers' quarterback play was worse than the Falcons last year.
Yeah, dude.
And he had a phenomenal season.
Oh, that's what it
just is hard for me to go, Kyle Pitts is going to be good. If it were one down year, I'd be like, all right, he's going to bounce back. But it's been like three bad years.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't realize it's been three now,
Two or three, Because he had his rookie season was solid.
Yeah. No, man. Hey, I feel it, man. I respect it, man. But I'll tell you this, Zach, do you have any honorable mentions that we haven't mentioned?
I do. I've got, obviously, Travis Kelce. You mentioned him. That's more of an honorable mention of what he has been. Again, his numbers have drastically dropped off the last 2 years. Dalton Schultz, another guy who you had mentioned. Nothing against him. It was him or Dalton Kincaid at 10, and I picked Kincaid.
I feel you, man.
Hunter Henry is one of those guys who I kind of underrated. He's been not elite, but been solid his whole career. So it's I'm not saying he's the number one tight end in the league or anywhere close, but he's a solid receiver and a solid blocking tight end. And then David Njoku had a bad season last year, but who had a good season in Cleveland, if we're being honest? Maybe Jerry Jeudy, I guess.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And I think that he's going to bounce back and be pretty good with whoever's throwing him the ball in Cleveland this year.
Yeah. No, well, I'm right there with you, man. I like those. I just wanted to, give some love to Luke Musgrave from Green Bay Packers.
Hey, you know where he went to college?
What do you say?
You know where he went to college?
Iowa, right?
Nope.
Oh.
Oregon State.
Oh, snap, dude. Wow. I don't know why.
We had to get a beaver in here somewhere, brother.
I was thinking some other, but you already know, man. I didn't realize it until like recently when I started looking up a lot more tight ends, especially during, my research during this time. And I was like, wow, dude, a whole lot of dudes from Iowa.
Oh, yeah. It's like tight end you.
It's tight end. Yeah, it's tight end you. Yeah. I've heard that, but I was like, wow. That really opened my eyes. But yeah, Luke Musgrave. And then I was going to say, Hunter Henry. I actually had him in my top 10. But I honestly, as I was thinking about this, I was like, well, no, I got to actually throw in TJ Hawkinson, if anything. And I mean, I wanted to give Dalton Schultz his flowers as well. But Hunter Henry as well, just, consistent, solid. And then if he stays healthy and when he's healthy, Pat Freiermuth from Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, just solid, reliable guy. As long as he stays healthy, just want to give him his flowers. But Zach, let's look at the Buccaneers tight end room now. Okay. And looking at our tight end room, where do our Bucs, kind of stack up next to these guys? Of course, look, we didn't mention any of our guys. The main guy is K. Dotton. So where would you put Otten? Do you think you could even sneak him in the honorable mention, maybe?
I don't. Yeah. I don't. I think he's bottom half of the league. I'm not going to say very bottom. Like, I'd put him between 20 and 25. He had 11 drops last year.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, man. Yeah. It's tough, man. But, I mean, he was
– he's not bad, and that's the weird thing. Like, he makes plays. I love that. I don't want to talk bad on him because he's not a bad player. It's just little things that I see that I'm like, I can't. It's kind of like Kyle Pitts. Like, he's got all the tools, but he's just not putting it together. It's like K-Dot doesn't have all those tools, but he's putting it together somewhat. But then, like, the drops are such a big issue. And I don't think that he's a needle mover on offense. I think that he's clutch. I'm not going to take that away from him. I think that when we need him on a short third down conversion, I think he's there. And Baker trusts him. But I just can't get over the drops from last season.
No, I'm right there with you, man. But the thing is, yeah, it just makes me think more than anything. I mean, he played, 97% of the offensive snaps compared to all the other tight ends. Of course he's, not some, beast like these guys, but yeah, he's clutch.
It was 11 drops over the last 2 years. So not just
last 2 years. Okay.
But that's still, he ranks.
That softens. The punch a little bit, but
he's that position over the 2 years.
Yeah. No, I feel you, man. I mean, yeah, he can ball out too, because I know, yeah, he had actually a great game, I think, in our wild card game. He had a bunch of catches. So it just makes me think, though. Okay, so, I'm right there with you. Did he ball out? Do you think there's any chance that he could? I don't know if I already asked that already. You think he could
You asked where I thought he'd be ranked, or could he sneak into honorable?
Can he make a leap? Because we also just upgraded our wide receiver room. Look, we got Egbuka and Tez Johnson. So yeah.
I think that where he's at,
yeah.
And it's going to sound like I'm hating on Kate Otten, but I don't mean it in a hateful way. I think that what we see is where he's at. Like, I don't think there's any, or where he's going to be. Like, I don't think he's going to take a leap. He's been in the league for a little while now. I don't expect a fourth or fifth year, however long he's been in the league, leap. Like, I just don't see it. Not that he's not solid. I don't mind having him on the team, but he's never going to be that top five tight end in the league. It's just not realistic, I don't think, at this point in his career.
No, I'm right there with you. And, there's always potential, but it just makes me think, our wide receiver room is so stacked, and you got other guys to think about as well, like our beloved Bucky Irving, our star running back. So, yeah, just a whole lot of guys to think about. And I feel like as long as he fills his role, which I feel like he's doing, but of course, there's always room for improvement with what he does. I feel like, you can just be, he'll probably just end up, if anything, maybe having kind of just a career, as we mentioned, like Hunter Henry, maybe someone who's just consistent, reliable, he can squeak in there maybe one day. But hey, quick question. If Kate Otten goes down, how do you feel about the rest of the guys? At that point, I feel like we're just going to be doing it's just going to be blocking more than anything.
I'm excited for Culp. Devin Culp is one of those guys that I think with development, he could be really good. He's got the skill set of a receiving tight end, and I love to see that. I would love for Tampa to have a legitimate receiving tight end again. Not that Kate Otten hasn't put up good receiving yards, but when you're targeted as much as he has and you play 97% of the snaps, you're going to have high numbers. So I think that's more of a quantity over quality thing with him. So I'm excited to see Culp maybe step into and take some of those snaps away from him and be our receiving tight end.
Yeah, I was probably going to say, if anything, it's got to be Culp. I mean, unfortunately, we saw barely anything from, like a scratch from Payne Durham, and Cole Kieft, I feel like, was just used in blocking roles.
That's all he is. So, he's a back of tight ends.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, hey, look, I wish, yeah, I listen, I hope when we got Cole Kieft out there, I hope he's a dog and all that. But at the end of the day, I don't expect, him picking up touchdowns, anything like that. But yeah, I could see that happening with Devin Culp. He showed some, some signs of life. I mean, he had that, week 17. Yeah, I remember he had that big, 20 yard catch or 20 plus yard catch or something. So yeah, he's young, he's got potential and all that, big body. So, hell yeah, man, I'm right there with you. So, Zach, as always, it's a pleasure. And listeners, we really appreciate you, you know, tuning into us. And hey, you know, I didn't mention it earlier on, but I do want to mention it, guys. You know, it just takes a couple seconds. Show us some love. Hit that like and subscribe. Please do spread the word. And also, we, as I mentioned in the beginning, we seriously care about what you have to say. Comment on our post. Tell us how you feel on the live stream, wherever you're watching it, if on YouTube or something. You know, let us know, you know, if you have any questions, because, you know, we love our. Said that is all for tonight. But yeah, well, no, we hope you join us next week as we dive into another position, and you know, we'll have Carter back in the show as well. So it's going to be a fun one with the iconic trio. But that's all for now. Thank you again to Zach Blaine, and folks, as always,
go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.